You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Brilliant. My name is Pastor Meshach, and I'm part of the team here, and it's just great to be able to speak to you this morning. Before we go any further, can we just give a huge round of applause to the band and just thank them for the great work that they're doing in leading us in the time of worship. 21 days of praying and fasting. How amazing was that? I knew the tone would just go down a little bit. Special shout out to our Geneva campus, the online campus. Come on, let's give them a shout. Let's praise, just give Jesus a shout as well in the room. Thankful to God for everything that he's doing. 21 days of praying and fasting. Let me start off by saying this to you. Whenever we go into these things, this spiritual disciplines, we will always face a contesting. Our prayer lives are always going to be contested. And if you want to know something about the enemy's plan, watch the areas of your life that he contests the most. The areas that he contests the most are the areas that are probably more powerful than you realize. So for example, when you think about your own prayer life, one of the challenges we have in churches all around the country, I do a lot of traveling up and down the country with Assemblies of God, seeing different churches and church plants. One of the greatest challenges you see when churches come out of a time of praying and fasting is this notion of going back to normal. That's the greatest robbery to the church, because you can never go back to normal when you've taken time to get into a place of praying and fasting. When we pray and fast, we actually shift from one level of normal and we enter into a new normal. So instead of thinking, all right, I used to eat one full bucket of KFC before praying and fasting, and on day 21, thank you, Jesus, I'm going back to KFC for another full bucket. You don't go back to normal. You step into a new normal. And what we're trying to do here today is, I really want to just unpack a few things around why your prayer life is being contested the way it is. Many churches you go to, the prayer life, the prayer service is the least attended service ever. And yet it's the most powerful. And you want to know, what is happening? What is this thing going on? Why does this keep happening? And I'm hoping that by the end of our time together this morning, we will be in a position where we can answer some of these questions and really begin to make some key decisions on how we move forward in our own prayer lives. We're about to celebrate Easter. And that was one of those key moments where God says, I want you to have direct, unrestricted, unlimited access to me. And the one way that is so powerful to do that is through prayer. And yet it's the one way that the enemy says, I'm going to contest the most. Philippians chapter 4 says this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That bit, we can do really well. That bit, we've got nailed. We know how to bring some requests before God. Amen? If you're anything like me, every time I come before God, I've got my double-sided A4 page and I'm ready. I'm like, God, I need you to listen. I need you to sit down, grab a coffee. I have some requests. Clearly, you guys don't do that, but I do. God, I have some requests. But here's the key verse. Verse 7 is the very powerful piece. It says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The asking bit is the easy bit. But where we lose it and where we miss it is where we leave the presence of God without his peace. The greatest robbery of the church when it comes to prayer is this notion of bringing requests and then you walk away. But actually, you don't walk away from a place of prayer without the peace of God. There's a beautiful exchange that is supposed to happen in our prayer life. We bring requests, we receive peace. One of the things I've made a decision about my own life a long time ago is when I'm contending in prayer, when I'm spending time in the presence of God in prayer, I do not leave without His peace. I can't leave the place of prayer without the trade of peace. And there's a reason why the Bible goes on to emphasize that this peace is the peace that is above the level of understanding. It surpasses understanding. Because this is what happens when you pray. You bring your request before God. If you're anything like me, when I bring my request before God, I have this non-verbal recommendation process that I give to God. And I say, you know, if I'm asking for provision, I need you to bring a brown envelope on Thursday afternoon. It'll just come through my door. And when I walk home, I open the door, I look down, I see a brown envelope. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Have you ever done it before? You don't verbalize the recommendation, but subconsciously you have some kind of a recommendation process. So what you then end up doing is after you pray, you're looking for this subconscious recommendation to be the response through which God answers your prayer. And when that response doesn't come in the way you were expecting, disappointment and discouragement begins to settle in. And yet God says, whatever you ask in prayer, I will give. It doesn't say how. But we get stuck in this space because we have this, because we have what is known as free will. This will of ours, it has this ability to start to create realities. I've been in places where I've convinced myself of exactly how God is going to respond to my prayer. Yeah, because I know exactly how God is going to respond to my prayer. Really, Meshach? And because it hasn't come, I can't see it. God is doing something completely different. I'm looking in one direction. I can't see it. Discouragement sets in. Disappointment sets in. And guess what? I begin to drift away from the place of prayer. And this is why God says, now, when you come into the place of prayer, trade your requests for my peace, because the peace stabilizes your horizon. And you don't look at one thing. You now begin to scope, because you recognize that God is going to respond. His response will not look like what you expect. It will look completely different. But because you are at peace, you can actually see. Have you ever been in a place where when you have peace, you've got clarity? But when you are not at peace, you can barely see things that are right in front of you. Can I say something? Could it be that the response that God has given to you is right in front of you, but you can't see because you are not at peace? I have to deal with this morning, because for where we are going as a church and the things that God is trying to do through us, we can't keep going through the same habits of the climax of praying and fasting and then anticlimax of back to normal. The Bible says we are growing from glory to glory. So if we started here in 21 days of praying and fasting, by the time we get to day 21, day 22 becomes a new level. So the things that God wants to do in and through our lives require us to keep the rhythm of prayer. And the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And notice the two areas it's guarding. It's guarding your heart and your mind, because those are the gateways through which the enemy plays ball. You've given a request, and God's response is here. This gap in between is where he begins to come to you and say, well, do you really believe that miracle is going to happen? Seriously? Are you crazy? Don't you know God stopped doing miracles 2,000 years ago? That was just the fairy tale stuff from the Bible. This prayer thing doesn't work. Just quit praying. Just stop. And by influencing this space, this gap here, you find yourself, maybe sometimes you don't even recognize, you find yourself drifting away from the place of prayer. And it says, when you come with your request, get peace. Church, when you come with your request, get peace. Now the peace guards your heart and your mind and begins to say, no matter what your understanding is telling you, peace tells you to sit still. Yeah? Your understanding tells you nothing has changed. You have just had 21 days of praying and fasting. You should have gone to an all-you-can-eat buffet, and that you'd be better off, because at least you'd be bigger. But he says, never mind what you see with the eyes of your understanding. settle in the peace of God and watch what he will do. This became a real powerful thing for me. I'm the eldest of four in our family. So I've got one younger brother and two younger sisters. And about 26 years ago, a fatal accident happened with my grandparents from my mother's side. And that fatal car accident caused my grandparents to die on the spot. And they had my two younger sisters with them in the car. And one of my younger sisters, the third one, became paralyzed from the waist down. And that was 26 years ago. And from that moment on, every single day for several years, I wrestled in the place of prayer with God, asking God to do a miracle. Because from my place of understanding, my level of understanding said, the only way my sister can have a good quality of life is when she's on her own two feet. And yet for God, the reality was very different. I'm going to put a picture up of my sister and you can see her. Her name is Michelle. This young girl is being used by God to do some incredible things. Where even though she's in a wheelchair, she's paralyzed, God is using her to impact lives, not only nationally, but even internationally. And yet, according to my limited understanding, I thought, you know, the only way that she can have a quality of life, an impactful life, is when she's walking on her two feet. This is why the peace of God is above the level of our understanding. That means there are things that God will do that don't quite make sense, but because he is saying it and he's doing it, it all adds up. You got to understand that for what God is calling us into and the things that he's about to do, we have got to rise above the level of understanding. We can't make spiritual decisions based on carnal understanding. And God says, with everything that I'm about to do through your life, it's not the guys on the platform, it's every single one of us. And I wrestled with this for Michelle. And I said, but Lord, that's my baby sister. That's my little sister. Come on, you got to do a miracle. You have got to do something. And little did I know that I was actually falling into the trap of the why cycle. Where you keep looking at yourself and think, why didn't this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? God, you're doing this for everybody else. Why didn't you do this for me? And little did I know that on the other side of the country, in a place called South Yorkshire, Doncaster, a little boy called Miles was desperate for God to touch his life because something had happened, not of his own making. He had a skin disease that the doctors had actually given up on. And God said, I'm taking you to this place. I need you to go to this church and just be with them. It's people I know. So I turned up and they had a night vigil that particular night, a prayer night vigil. And I turned up to this place. I found a little spot to pray. And as I was praying, I started to hear a cry of a child on my left side. And there was a desperate, desperate cry. Those of you who know us, you know we've got four children. And if you have four children in a house, crying is the soundtrack of your house. So you don't get moved by things like that. It's just, you know, some people call on Alexa, we just have children and they just make noise. They just cry. So crying is not a thing, but this cry was different. This was a different kind of cry. And I remember opening my eyes thinking, okay, this is not a normal cry. Let me look to see what is going on with this child. There's going to be a picture that will flash up on the screen. I'm going to flash if you've got a child next to you, just distracting for a moment. Just for a quick flash, you see it, and then it'll come off. That child was on the other side. Whilst I was consumed about the reason why Michelle is still paralyzed for over 20 years. And God says, in that child's story, there is a guy called Meshach who is supposed to pray for this little boy. But Meshach is so consumed by his own self situation. Because when he prayed for his sister, he did not come away with peace. He is still unsettled. So the thought of even praying for anybody else makes no sense when my own blood sister is still in a wheelchair. This is why, church, the peace of God is beyond our level of understanding. When you get that peace, when you receive that peace, this is what he says. He says, the peace enables you to focus on the mission of God in spite of the disruption in your own personal circumstances. So that's what God will call you. So when we came into this place, I'm praying and I'm looking at this little boy as you saw in that picture, and I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. And the first voice that came in was the voice of the fact that your sister is still paralyzed. How dare you even believe a miracle for this little boy? And thanks be to God, the peace of God enabled me to close that chapter and say, God, I will never be able to love Michelle more than you. So I am at peace. And I prayed for this little boy and nothing happened. And I remember leaving that place discouraged and angry at God, thinking, God, this is why I didn't want to do it. This is the reason why I didn't want to do it. But 7 days later, a message pinged up on my phone and there was no words to it, but it was just a picture of this little boy and he was healed. He was completely healed. If we're going to praise, we've got to praise Jesus and we've got to give him the highest praise. Listen to me, Audacious Church. We've got to understand that this is not going to be just the unusual. This has got to be the normal. This has got to be the normal, because the things that God is calling us into are things that will reveal the divine nature of God. And in order for the divine nature of God to move in our midst, he needs men and women who are not stuck in the cycle of the why. This is normal. This should be the new normal. On the back of praying and fasting for over 21 days, please don't fall back into your old rhythm. Step into a new normal where you begin to believe for the supernatural like it's just breathing. We can't be robbed of what God is trying to do in and through his church. And we become satisfied. You see, when it comes to the presence of God, there are two levels to his presence. There is what is known as the omnipresence of God, where the presence of God is just everywhere. You don't have to be a believer of God to be in his omnipresence. But then there's another level, another dimension of his presence called the manifest presence of God. That is for you and me. And we trigger the manifest presence of God in this place called prayer. So you still wonder why you're being contested every time you think about praying, every time you're trying to pray? Because the enemy knows, if I let her or if I let him step into this place of prayer, it's game over. Because the manifest presence of God begins to shape what you see, how you think, how you feel, how you respond. Changes everything. So get ready to receive his peace. Some of you are under affliction right now. And James chapter 5 verse 13 tells us what to do. You might be under attack, you might be under affliction. He says this one thing, pray. If you're under affliction emotionally, if you're under affliction mentally, whatever it is that you're going through, you are under attack. The Bible says, pray. And then the first thing that will come in this gap, if you don't have the peace of God guarding your heart and your mind, the first thing that will come into your mind is, just watch a good series on Netflix. It will make you feel better. It will make you feel better. And yet God is not looking for you to feel better. He's looking for you to be completely set free. Charles Spurgeon, a great, great man of God, he says this, I would rather teach one man to pray than 1,000 to preach. Think about it. I would rather teach one man to pray than to teach 1,000 to preach. There must be something about prayer. And this is why I'm so passionate about it right now, because I recognize that we are in this very vulnerable space where we've just come out of 21 days of praying and fasting, and everything in us is yearning to go back to normal. Please step into the new normal. Or you thought you didn't have time and space to spend a lot of commitment in prayer, but you just did. And this is why he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to now say, nah, just go back to normal now. Let's just do what we used to do with all this time that you were spending. You were spending more time in prayer. That's the new normal. Keep spending that time in prayer and you'll begin to see what God will do. Amen? Affliction is part and parcel of a deal. John 16, verse 33, he says this, I have told you these things, Jesus speaking, so that in me you may have... In this world, you will have trouble. You will be persecuted. You will have affliction. But take heart, because I have overcome. The only way you can get the perspective of his overcoming nature is when you have peace. Oh, God, why is this happening? Oh, it was inevitable. Affliction is part of the package. It's going to happen. But what you need is peace. The most dangerous Christian is a Christian who is in the peace of God. Because no matter what you throw at him or her, they are immovable, they are unshakable. You can change whatever circumstance you change. You can't shift them out of the place of prayer. They remain steadfast. No matter what happens, they're there. It doesn't mean their life is perfect. It doesn't mean they've got all their ducks in a row. Things are going chaotic in their life, and yet they are still at peace. If you want to be a lethal believer in Jesus Christ, move and live your life in the peace of God. You are immovable in that place. And we want to pray. We need to pray. Lastly, your prayers are being contested because there is no weapon like your prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 reads from verse 3 to verse 5, for though we live in the world, can I have the band back please, because we got to go in. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the what? The knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought that makes it obedient to Christ. The strongholds have one assignment and one assignment only. The assignment is to keep out any knowledge of God from entering in. This is why you've got your friends that you're wanting to come to faith. Every time you want to talk to them about this new deal you found in Sainsbury's, they're happy to listen to you. The moment you start to talk about Jesus, strongholds come up. And here's the challenge we have. We've got to change our tactic, because what we are doing is we are coming before them, dealing with a stronghold that is supernatural in nature, yet we're coming at them in the natural. So we've got Easter coming up next week. So you will go and be like, I'm going to invite them to come. And they will probably come for the festivities, but they will not receive what you really want them to receive. Because the coming to the fun is one thing, but receiving Christ will be met with the stronghold. And this is why the battle of the strongholds for you and I has got to be won in prayer first. So if I were you in this coming week, if you've got four or five people that you need to come to the Easter event, before you give them the flyer, go to war. Before you give them the flyer, go to war. Because what you really want them to receive is not the flyer. What you really want them to receive is Jesus. And right now, there is this stronghold. What you need to understand is a stronghold is a place that is fortified and reinforced to keep everything out. And we've just heard the agenda of the stronghold of the enemy are one assignment and one assignment only. Let us keep the knowledge of God out of this mind, out of this heart. And then you and I come with the flyer. They will get the flyer, but they will not receive Jesus. And here's the challenge this morning, church. If that doesn't break your heart, I'm not sure what else will. So if there are people in your lives right now that you want to know Jesus, recognize that before the physical, there is a supernatural dynamic at play. There is a stronghold designed to keep any knowledge of God out. And you and I have weapons. We have a weapon that can break down that stronghold. And the weapon is prayer. Maybe you even have their names written down now, or you have them in your heart. But I want us to pray. I want us to go to war. Because you got to recognize every time somebody comes into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, a war precedes that. There is a war that happens. You don't waltz into the enemy's territory and take people and bring them into the kingdom of God. You will face resistance. There will be a war. But we have weapons that are not natural. Our weapons are divine in nature. That means we win the war in the supernatural before we even win it in the natural. So let's pray. Stand with me. Jesus. Jesus. There might be some of us in this place today, and you know, like me, there are personal circumstances that you have felt a bit stuck on. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I can't think about anybody else right now because my personal circumstance is the way it is right now. But I need you to know this, that in God's economy and in God's plan and purposes, there are people who are waiting for the gift of God in you to come and serve them. Because everything God gives to us is not for our own benefit. Everything He gives to us has a missional mandate at play. And when we use language like, I have given my life to God, that literally means He does with my life as He pleases. Even if it means sometimes I'm going to live in the tension where my personal world is in turmoil, but Jesus says, Meshach, I have put a gift in you. I need you to go to Birmingham. You will go to Birmingham in spite of the chaos in your own life, because you recognize you're part of something much bigger than yourself. If we're truly going to see the reality that I believe God has in store for us as a church and churches, whether we're in Geneva, whether we're in Chester, wherever we are, our online community, everywhere we are, if we're truly now going to see God do some incredible things on the back of what we've just been through in 21 days of praying and fasting, my encouragement to you this morning is, we've got to break this cyclic motion of why this is happening to me, Lord. Why is this? And shift and say, God, today I need your peace. The presence of the peace of God does not mean the absence of the chaos of your world. I need to say that again, because some of us might think, oh, if I've got peace, then that means everything has been sorted. No. The presence of the peace of God does not mean the absence of the real challenges you're faced with right now. They'll still be there, but you remain at peace. And that's what makes you very dangerous. That is the fact that you can coexist with the troubles in your life, and yet you retain clarity on everything that God is asking you to do, that makes you a very dangerous Christian. But here's the lie of the enemy. The lie is, wait until your world is sorted out first before you can do anything else for God. And God says, come as you are. So let's pray. If that's you and you know you've struggled with being stuck in the personal challenges you have in your life and you want to get unstuck and you want the peace of God, just lift your hand where you are and we want to pray with you. Wow. Come on, lift him high up. This is not a time to be to think about being shy or anything. This is business because God wants to use you. I've just told you my own journey. And you have your own journey too. And there are things that God wants to do in and through your life. So he's going to get a bit messy right now. I need, for those of you who don't have your hands up, I need you to just begin to pray around the room. There are people around you with their hands up. I need you to pray for them. Because what is in you might actually be what they need. So begin to pray. As the band will start to lead us, I need us to be in serious prayer about this because something has got to shift. Come on, church. Come on, come on. You got to lift it. Father, we pray for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We make an announcement this morning that every plan and every strategy of the enemy has been exposed. We refuse to be stuck in this cyclic motion of wondering why things in our own personal lives are being the way they are. Yet that's the very same plan the enemy uses to keep us distracted from everything you're trying to call us into. So Father, we pray that as Audacious Church, the supernatural power of God will move in our midst just as normal. We declare that our lives don't have to be perfect in order for you to move in and through us. And we can manage the tension between the two because we are at peace. We have your peace that surpasses all understanding. But we also announce to every stronghold that has tried to keep out the knowledge of God in many hundreds, if not thousands, around our city, in our own families, in our own lives. We make an announcement from the place of prayer that every stronghold, is pulled down. In Jesus' name. So Father, we thank you. As you shift us into a new normal, where prayer is not optional, but prayer is a rhythm of our lifestyle. Let your name be glorified in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.